Get ready to change your business and your life with the Adam Stott Business Model. My rules to how I do business. Hello, and my name is Adam Stott, and if you are listening to me for the first time, then I'm very honoured to meet you, and I can't wait to help you get new, exciting results in your business, just the way I have done for so many business owners, you know, across the country and other countries as well. Now, what we're going to be talking about today is we're going to be talking about the Adam Stott business model, and that is my 40 step-by-step rules to how I do business. Now, these rules have guided me again and again to make the right decisions, and I hope that you take every rule into your business game so you can start getting better results, which I know that you deserve, I know that you want, and let's make sure that we show you how to do that. Now, the first few rules are going to be about starting out. When you start out in your business, what are the right things to do? How can you make sure that you limit mistakes, and how can we make sure that you limit mistakes? And that's what we're going to be doing first of all. But as we go along, we're going to be getting into some key business principles and lessons that I know are going to add so much value to you. So make sure that you stay all the way through so you can listen to all the rules, and I can really help you to start to grow your business, grow your profits, and create more wealth in your life. So let's start off, let's kick off with rule number one: get proof of concept. Now, what do I mean by get proof of concept? What I mean is, when you're starting out in business, it's very, very important that you get proof that your product or service will sell. Now, perfection is often gone after by so many people. Before I launch, I want it to be perfect. I want my website to be perfect. I want to make sure that every last tweak is perfect, because when I launch, it's going to blow up. Well, I've got bad news for you. That isn't always the case. Sometimes we need to make sure that we get our products or service out there, we get clients, we get customers, we get paying customers, and we know that our product or service is wanted or needed in the marketplace. And once we've done that and we've got clients that are paying for our product or service, we can continually improve it, we can make it better, we can add more value to our clients, and we can start to scale the business. But if you don't get proof of concept and you spend all your time perfecting, you know, your new product or service before it goes out to market, I'm afraid you're going to be wasting a lot of valuable time. And especially if you've got a revolutionary product, you've got something really cool that you know is going to thrive and grow, all the time that you're preparing and you're not going to market, you're giving competitors and other people the opportunity to start out and get an edge on you, which we don't want to do. We want to make sure that your business thrives, and in order to do that, we need to get proof of concept, we need to get our product out, we need to get paying customers for our product straight away. So make sure, no matter what, you get proof of concept. So, rule number two: you've got proof of concept, you've got some paying customers, you've got people that think your product's cool. It's not your mum, your nan, or your dad saying that this is the coolest product in the world. It's paying customers that you've added value to. What we need to do now is rule number two: you need to find marketing routes that produce. And what do I mean by that? I mean, we've got to make sure that we market our product or service in the best way possible. And the best way to do that, first of all, is by testing. Rather than going out and spending huge amounts of money on a flyer drop or a PPC campaign or SEO or Facebook or whatever it may be, we need to test. We need to find a route that produces. We need to understand what is the cost per lead. How much do we need to spend in marketing, pounds, euros, or dollars, to get a lead back? And that is our cost per lead. And then out of those leads, how many do we convert? And that is our cost per sale, and that's what I want you to monitor. And then once we've got a solid cost per lead, we know that we can test and we can increase our spend in those areas to get more leads. So make sure you're testing, make sure you're measuring on cost per lead and cost per sale, cost per acquisition is also known as. We need to also create lead funnels that have the ability to grow our product or service or our company. And a lead funnel is essentially information that helps people get an idea about who we are, what our product or service is, and we can educate them and use education-based marketing to help them grow with us, to understand more about us, and position them and get them to buy into our product or service. So make sure that you've got proper lead funnels in place. Make sure you're measuring cost per lead, cost per sale. Make sure you're testing. Now, I also want you to have campaigns. And what do I mean by that? I mean, I don't want you to just use email marketing. I don't want you to just use Facebook. I don't want you to just use direct mail. I want you to launch campaigns that work together and work in tandem with each other to create results. So that might mean we've got a Facebook campaign, but we mirror that to an email that goes out to our clients afterwards, which allows them to see our message twice, to understand it through a different channel, and these campaigns go out, hit our clients, and ensure that they really become accustomed to what we do. I also want you to think about who is your best buyer. What I mean by best buyer is who is the ideal type of client that you want to acquire for your business. Now, if you can find the ideal client, that ideal client will attract you more ideal clients as well, because, you know, like attracts like. They're going to know other people like themselves. They're going to purchase your products or service. They're going to be in the capacity to be able to pay you for your products or service. So don't just go out there with a machine gun and target your marketing efforts everywhere. Let's go a bit more targeted. Let's find our best buyers and make sure that we're communicating to them in a language that resonates. So what I mean by that is, if you've got young people, let's talk to them in a younger language. If you've got older, more professional, corporate, B2B buyers, let's talk to them in that language. Whatever is going to resonate with our best buyers, that's the language we need to be using in our marketing. So, rule number three, client service runs through the company's veins. Now, I hope that you take this principle to heart, because it is everything. The more you look after your clients, the more they will look after you. They'll look after your referrals. They'll look after your repeat business. They'll look after your profits. So make sure that you are looking after your clients. Make sure that client service forms a large part of your culture. And what I mean by that is everyone in your organization, whether you're large, whether you're small, whatever size you are, understands that treating the customer like king is the priority. And look, I know things go wrong, I know issues come up, but deal with complaints and issues swiftly. Never let issues dwell or become out of control. And I don't know who said, I think actually Bill Gates said this, that the best source of learning is in your complaints department. Make sure you keep an eye on what is the feedback you're getting, why are people complaining, what are the issues, and go about and fix those issues, because your reputation is everything. It's all you have in today's market, and you need to make sure your reputation, your brand, your great service is always improving, to make sure that your clients understand that your culture is client service is running through your company. Running through your company's veins, client service is king and is key. So look after your clients and watch your business thrive. So rule number four, create advocates early. Now, an advocate is similar to somebody that is a raving fan, somebody that loves your business, that wants to shout from the rooftops about how amazing your business is. And what we need to do is we need to be on an ongoing basis making sure that we are cultivating raving fans, supporters of our products or service that want to go out there, that want to spread the word for you. The more you create advocates early, the better your business is going to grow, the more organically it will grow. So make sure that you understand how to create advocates. And I'll give you couple of tips on that now. Talk to your clients. Tell them that you're looking for referrals. Tell them that you want to meet more people like them. Tell them that you're open to referrals. Come up with referral strategies to make sure that they're bringing new people to you, and make sure that you are wowing your clients on an ongoing basis. And also make sure you provide value for money. You know, in the business world today, the more value you create for your clients, the more value you're going to receive back in referrals, in repeat business, in client testimonials, reviews, etc. So make sure you love your clients and they will love you. Rule number five, recruit from outside your circle. Okay, so this might be a little bit controversial, but I can tell you, in my business, I've been in business for 10 years, I've got multiple different businesses, and recruiting from outside my circle has always been a very, very good thing for me. When I've brought family, friends, close friends into my business, there is, you know, it creates issues and it can really make sure that you get into a downward spiral in your business. So look outside your circle, bring in quality people, look for the skills that you need in your business, and never, ever, ever, ever employ anybody you're not prepared to fall out with, because in business there will be disagreements, and if you're the business owner and you're you're in charge of the business, you need to look after your own destiny. You're making the decisions to shape your future. And if you've got somebody that is not in line with what you're thinking or disagrees with your decision, and you can't have a strong conversation with them for fear that, you know, oh, if I have a strong conversation with them, I'm going to be in the position where, you know, they don't like me anymore. We're not going out Saturday night, whatever it might be. So make sure you don't employ anybody that you're not prepared to have a strong conversation with or that you're prepared to fall out with. Because guess what? People also make mistakes. If you've got a family member, a friend or a colleague in your business and they're starting to work there and they make a huge mistake, you know, God forbid they make a huge mistake and you've got to let them go out of your business, what is that going to do to your friendship? You might think, well, they'd understand. Let me tell you from experience, they don't always understand. And business can mean the end of friendships. I want you to succeed in business. I don't want you to have the stress or the pain that I went through in my business. So follow this rule and make sure you recruit from outside your circle. So rule number 6, make decisions based on logic, not emotion. Now, emotional decisions are almost never right. And at times in business, we will make emotional decisions. And look, of all the decisions I've made in the 10 years I've been in multiple different businesses, my emotional decisions are the ones that have caused me the most distress. They've, you know, making decisions from a place of anger or emotional distress will cause you problems. So what we need to do is we need to be logical, okay? We need to make decisions from a calm position. We need to make them objectively. And when I say logically, we need to be making decisions based on the numbers. We need to be making decisions based on our performance and the results of the organization. So when it comes to making a decision, I really want you to, first and foremost, don't trust your gut. People out there saying, trust your gut. Now, someone like Alan Sugar says, trust his gut. What he means is trust his experience. He's been in business 40, 50 years. He's got lots and lots of experience in business. And of course, he's got very good gut because his decisions are based from experience, not from his gut. If you're starting out in business, let's trust the numbers rather than our gut, because if we get it wrong, it's going to cause us issues. So make sure we're making logical decisions. We look at our numbers. If we're going to have to release someone from our business for performance, let's have a good look at the numbers. Let's look at their performance on an ongoing basis. Let's see if they are worthy of keeping based by the numbers, not based off whether they like someone or they upset Sally or Sue in the business or whatever it might be. Performance is key, results are key, numbers are key, and return on investment is key. When making marketing decisions, don't just say, well, I think that flyer drop went really well. Let's make sure that we got tracking numbers on our flyers and we can see exactly how many phone calls came in from our flyers. Or let's make sure that we're monitoring our Facebook ads and we know what our cost per lead is, whether we decide whether this ad performs well or not. It doesn't matter if you like the ad or whether you like the flyer or whether you like the letter you've sent out. It doesn't matter. What matters are the results. So let's make our decisions based on the logic of the results, the numbers, the performance, the return on investment. But when it does come to decision making, I also want to point out that you need to make decisions as quickly as possible. And a good way to manage your decisions is to have a think about what is the very best thing that can happen if you make the decision and you decide to go ahead, what is the most likely thing that can happen, and what's the worst thing that can happen. And if there is a terrible thing that can happen from making this decision, maybe you want to, you know, hold on and not make it. If there's great results can come from this, but very little downside, then let's do that as well. Okay, let's make that decision. You've always got to protect the downside and make your decisions from a place of logic. So number 7, go it alone or have the controlling interest. Now, partnerships in business, you know, for very different reasons, can fail a lot. And I want you to be very careful if you're entering into a partnership, because, you know, in people's lives, things change, things happen. All of a sudden, something that seemed like a good idea when you went into the partnership in the beginning, you know, something changes in your life or that other person's life, and all of a sudden that partnership is not going to bring you the same return as you expected it to do. So make sure when you're going into a partnership, if you can, have the controlling interest, because you're obviously somebody that's listening to this for a reason. You want to be successful. You want to get that more wealth in your life. You're going to be somebody that's confident, that wants to grow, that wants to learn from the right people. And if you're letting somebody make 50-50 decisions, or you can't breathe and make a decision without somebody else's approval, unless they're singing off exactly the same hymn sheet, which is very rare, it's going to be very, very difficult for you. So let's make sure if we're going into a partnership, we have the controlling interest. Otherwise, this makes sure when we do get a partner, we look for an A player. There's A players, there's B players, and there's C players. I don't know whether you've listened to my first book, The 10 Key Reasons That Businesses Fail, but I explain that in great detail. You might want to go and check that out as well, which is also on www.adamstott.com. But I speak about the fact that an A player is, you give them a task, they go over and above, they achieve amazing results. You give a B player a task, they just about get it done or just narrowly hit the target. You give a C player a task, and they don't produce the result that they were meant to. You do not want to partner with C players. Test those partners out. Somebody wants to go into business with you, set them some challenges, give them some objectives to go and meet. And if they go and they blow you away, you might have an A player. A player partnerships obviously are going to be a lot more successful than partnering with B players or C players. But let's make sure that we try and get the controlling interest. There is a little bit of a counter to the argument when it comes to company investments. Obviously, if you're investing in a company and you're investing in an A player, quite often you won't have the controlling interest. That's fine. Just do your due diligence. Make sure you do a deep dive on that business if you're going to give an investment to that business. So rule number 7, go it alone or have the controlling interest. Okay, rule number 8. Study the industry. This sounds obvious, but too many people go into an industry. They see somebody, they think, oh, they've done well, or this is going to work. You know, I can see this happening in my industry without really understanding it. And it's so much easier to create success in a business or an industry that you understand. Now, if you don't understand the industry you're going into, get coaching. Get coached by someone that does understand it. You can save yourself from making so many mistakes. If I'm going into a new industry, I make sure that I've got a coach or a strong partner with me having the controlling interest of somebody that's going to add value and help make sure that I succeed in that business, and I recommend you do the same. Some ways that you can make sure you study the industries, make sure that you read the trade magazines, make sure you go to the conferences, study marketing initiatives, make sure you study the competition. Let's know the top 50 in your field, and let's make sure we monitor, model, and implement their ideas. We all know success leaves clues, and if you're smart and you're a smart business owner, because obviously you're listening to this audio, you're taking notes, you're getting value from it, that means you're a smart business owner. You will do your due diligence. You will know the top 50 in your field. And my challenge to anybody listening to this right now is, do you know who the top 50 in your field are? Good question, whether you can answer that question or not. If you don't, go and get the knowledge. Go and have a look at the top 50 players, look at their website, see what they're doing, and let's bring that into your game. Let's make sure you improve. Let's make sure you find the new ideas, okay? So the only counter to that is conceptual learning, and cross-pollination is very, very important. And what I mean by that is bring in other ideas from other industries into your business. Something that works in another industry can create explosive results in your industry. And look, I want you to succeed. I want you to get explosive new results in your business. So make sure if you see something in another industry that works very well, let's put it into your game, let's adapt your business, and make sure that you get those results too. Rule number 9, model industry champions. Now, we talked about understanding the top 50. We talked about your competition, but every industry has powerhouses. We need to study what they do. We need to know about their journey. We need to know about their key people. We need to know about their business structure. What is it they've done to create those results? Why are they getting market share and you're not? Some of the massive, massive successes that they've had will be obvious for you to see. You know, speaking to people that work in that business or have been in that business and meaning to understand what they do will be very important to you. You can always use the mystery shop function. Make sure you go out, you mystery shop your competition, you understand what they do. You can get to know their sales pitch. You can get to know their processes. You can start to be aware of the potential clients that they'll be saying that they'll be selling, and you'll be seeing them during your visit, and you can gain the upper hand, and you can start to understand how to attract new clients to your business. So make sure that you model the industry champions, you know who the powerhouses are, and you go out there, you get that information, and you rule in your business. Rule number 10, know the competition, but only compete with yourself to become the best. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story here. Back when I was selling cars, before I had my businesses, and I've got car businesses still, as well as many other businesses, one thing that when I was selling cars, I always wanted to make sure that I had beat the number 2. I wanted to be number 1 month in, month out. I never wanted to be beaten. Now, the problem is I was always number 1, but what if number 2 had a bad month? Did that mean I only did a little bit and I just beat them? Or what if number two had a fantastic month? Did I just work hard enough just to make sure I had my head in front of the finish line? You know, no, this is why I want you to focus on yourself. I want you to focus on yourself. I want you to compete against yourself. I want you to continue to beat your numbers month in, month out, year in, year out. I want you to be the best you that you can possibly be. I want you to be so committed to improvement that you'll continue improving. You're always improving. You're always looking for better results. So it's important to know your competition. It's important to model your competition. It's important to take key elements of their game and bring it into your business. But what's more important is that you know that you can always grow. You can always be better. You're always competing against yourself and you're always improving your clients' moments. You're creating new USPs for your business, unique selling points, and you focus on your business, you focus on yourself to make sure that you can be the best that you deserve to be. So, rule number 11, you need to invest in yourself. If you're not investing in yourself on an ongoing basis, you are making a mistake. It is so important if you want your business to grow that you need to grow as well. If you do not grow on an ongoing basis, your business will outgrow you, and we don't want that to happen. When a business outgrows you, you get to a point of stress, of fear. You don't know what the right decision is. You don't know whether to make this decision, that decision, because you're afraid of what will happen. But if you're continually growing on an ongoing basis, that won't happen to you. If you've got weaknesses in your game, you need to sharpen up. You need to make sure that you become great at marketing. You need to be sure that you become a great at cash flow, at accounts. Every part of business needs to be your school, your university, where you learn the keys to make sure that you succeed. So make sure you're investing in yourself. If you haven't had coaching, experience coaching. Get to understand what coaching can do for you. It's a transference of knowledge. It's somebody with more experience than you that is going to coach you and help you and solve problems that come up in your business time and time again. It's going to save you money. It's going to improve your game. It's going to round you off as a better business owner. And coaching is so, so important. Since I've had coaching in the last 5 years, my businesses have grown immeasurably. My business has grown up to 846% in the last 4 years, one of my businesses. Other businesses I've took from nothing to millions in under a year because I was coached on the industry. I understand what the right moves are and I've really got those results. Now I want to make sure that you get the same results, so don't overlook investing in yourself, whether that is coaching, reading books, attending courses, whatever it might be. Make sure you invest in yourself. One thing that's been a key principle that's helped me to become more successful is to make sure that quarterly, no matter what, I am on a course, I am sharpening my mind, I'm making sure that I'm learning from the best and I'm getting more information that's going to help me grow. I'd encourage you to do exactly the same. And if you can do it monthly, then even better. You know, once a month, if you can't take a day out of your business to work on your business, to get new growth, new gains, and new motivation, then you need to be asking your question, are you serious to succeed in business? I want you to succeed. Make sure you invest in yourself. The best investment you can ever make is in yourself. You cannot lose. It's something that will always stay with you, that you'll always retain, and you'll be the person that continues to get those gains. Rule number 12, never stop improving as a business owner. Now, it comes down a bit to rule number 11, invest in yourself. But rule number 12 is, it's a basic, but if you want to be an elite business owner, you need to have a well-rounded game. You need to make sure that you understand all aspects of business. There are so many aspects in business. Yes, there's marketing. Yes, there's sales. Yes, there's accounting. There's cash flow. You've got to know it all. And if you don't understand it, you've got to make sure that you go out there and you get the knowledge so you do. Yes, you're going to have accountants that work with you on your business, but you've got to understand the numbers. You've got to understand what they mean when they talk to you about gearing ratios and when they talk to you about your profit and loss, and they talk to you about your budgets and your budget variances. If you don't understand this, you need to, because I want you to be a super success. I want to see you climb the business mountain to create everything that you want in your life, to get that wealth. And if you want to get it, you've got to understand the game that you're playing. Business is an intellectual sport, and I want you to win in this game of business. So make sure that you never stop improving as a business owner. And that's rule number 12. Rule number 13, you have to have a coachable mindset. What I mean by having a coachable mindset is that you need to understand if there are people out there that are more successful than you, or there are people out there that are creating results that you want, you have to be willing to listen and willing to learn. If you sometimes are saying, I know that, or I did that and it didn't work, then you need to think, you know, think of it like this. If you went out and you had a relationship with a lady or a man or whatever, and you know it didn't work and you stopped there, you'd never end up getting married, you'd never end up having children. And it's exactly the same when it comes to coaching and having a coachable mindset and making sure things work for you. You need to make sure that not only do you listen to the right advice, that you get the right content, that you implement quickly, that you're serious about success. Now, my challenge to you would be, learn something every day. Look to exceed your expectations by getting new knowledge that's going to inspire you to increase your success. So take advice, but take advice for the right people. Don't take advice for people that are less successful than you. You know, there are so many people out there that are coaches, that are trainers, that are so-called gurus, but they've never had a business before. If they haven't had a business and you're taking advice from them on an ongoing basis, you know, I fear for you, because they're not going to have been in the situation that you will find yourself. So make sure you seek out people that have got proper business experience that can help you, proper experience of creating wealth, whether it be in business, whether it be in property, whether it be in their life, and make sure you find the right mentors, coaches, and role models, and listen to their advice and implement it if you want to maximize your results. Now, rule number 14, very important rule, invest in people that will take your business to the next level. Now, you might have heard the phrase, pay peanuts, get monkeys. Now, let me tell you, don't be afraid to invest in top quality people. Top quality people will grow your business. They'll make you money. They'll bring new clients into your business. They'll bring new processes or procedures that allow you to save time, have a better impact. So don't be afraid to bring top people in. Top marketing people will drive your business, get you new leads, get you new sales. Top salespeople will convert your sales better, and they will pay for themselves. Top accounts people will stop your business from being exposed. They'll save you money. So investing in people is key. And every business, as you grow, is going to need a management structure. So make sure that if you're not a great manager, or your business is getting to the point where you're finding yourself too overwhelmed, maybe you need to bring a manager into your business to help manage in the day-to-day, so you can go out and grow the business even more. But let me tell you, investing in top people is the second best investment you'll ever make. And if you've been listening, which I think you have, you would know that the first best investment you can make is in yourself. The second best investment you can make is in top people. So make sure on an ongoing basis you're bringing top people into your business. Rule number 15 is, make decisions based from the numbers. We spoke earlier about logic, but as you grow in your business, numbers are going to become more and more important. And business is a numbers game, and accounts are the scorecard. If you are not making profit, my friends, I'm afraid that you're losing. We need to make sure we have a profitable business. There's two ways to make sure that our profits increase. We either increase the top line, we create more sales, we create more income, or we decrease the bottom line and we save our costs. But make sure you're continually looking at both. You've got a great understanding of your numbers. You need ongoing management information to make correct decisions. So you want your monthly management accounts on a timely basis, so you can see what has happened in the business in the last month. You do not want to be waiting to the end of the year to see a set of accounts and learn that you didn't make money last year. That's a whole year. We can't afford as business owners to go one year to the next not understanding what our results are. So make sure you get the numbers. The numbers tell the story. They're the stats, the trends, the sources, the return on investment that allows you to make better decisions, you know. And if you're looking at numbers, it's easier to make tougher calls. And making tough calls is very, very important in business. The more you make tough calls, the more you're going to succeed. And look, I'll leave you with this on this rule. Business is a game, it's an intellectual sport, and it should be played that way. And the numbers are your scorecard. You need to listen to the scorecard, make the correct decisions, and make sure you make your decisions based from the numbers. So, guys, you've got my first 15 rules, and I'm sure they're going to have a massive impact on your business. Now, I've got some great news. I've got another 25 rules that can really help you to grow your business, increase your results, increase profits, but more important, govern the way you do business. I really want you to make sure that you implement the 15 you've heard so far. I want you to go over to adamstott.com, go to the products page, and purchase the next 25, because those 25 rules are absolutely key. I go into more detail, I go deep dive, more depth, to make sure I really give you principles and understanding of business that's really helped guide me and take me from being, you know, a one-man band to having a multi-million pound business. And if you're somebody that wants more success in your life and you want to make sure that you don't make mistakes and make sure you make better decisions, then you need to get these extra rules, because they're really going to help you grow. Also, you've listened to 15. Make sure you implement. I want to make sure that you start to let these 15 rules guide you, help your decision making, and really help increase your results. So I look forward to seeing you on the other side of the next 25 rules on the Adam Stott business model. And I also look forward to seeing you in person, building that relationship, helping to coach and mentor you, and make sure that you get the results that you deserve in your life. Thank you very much for listening, and I look forward to seeing you very, very soon.